You're here because you want more. More engagement. More delight. More fun. More learning. You're hungry for change and willing to take action.
If you're not prepared to be wrong, you'll never come up with anything original.
Welcome to the e-learning scenario design podcast with Anna Sabramowitz.
I'm going
to
show you how great I am.
Let's take learning to the next level.
Hello, everybody. Anna Sabramowitz, your interactive storytelling coach. Now, today I'm going to talk about two powerful strategies that engage people. And you can throw out a lot of the other mumbo jumbo and weird stuff that we're sold out there as people who work in L&D about what is actually engaging to adults. Because I bet you when you hear these two awesome strategies, you'll be like, yep, I get it, Anna. Okay, I'm focusing on the wrong thing. And that's really what I want you to help you with today. All right, so if you're visiting and you're watching this live, even if you're not watching it live, you better say hi. I love hearing where you guys are from, visiting from. Now, of course, I'm going to talk about storytelling in this session, but let me tell you a little bit about how this came about, right? So I started freelancing. I went freelance about 10 years ago. And in there, I've had some gigs and I jumped on a few places actually full time as a full on instructional designer and e-learning developer. But one of the things that happened when I first started freelancing is I thought that, hi, Mark. One of the things that I thought was going to happen is that I was going to be in charge of my creativity. I was going to be in charge of my projects. And after years in a couple of places that really didn't understand what, you know, how much potential there was in e-learning and how much better we could actually make that experience, I was like, I was thirsty for just jumping out on my own. And what I found was kind of crazy was that the customers who I was getting, the people who were asking for more e-learning, they were asking for more of the same things that I had been running away from. So they thought that, you know, some of the best things that were out there were just like a cooler version of a cool version of Click and Reveal with some like some animations in there and some, you know, swish sounds or something, right? Crazy. Hi, Jill. Sweet. So that kind of deflated me a bit because one of the things I realized, like, what, you know, freelance sells you this dream and it's like, I'm going to work on the coolest stuff. I'm going to be my boss, my own boss. I'm going to be so creative and I'm just only going to take the kind of work that, you know, really fits my ethos, what I believe learning, e-learning should be, right? And that didn't happen. Got to tell you, because the thing is, what was lacking for me, and I think it's funny because I can only in retrospect look at it now, was the confidence to pitch creative projects. What happened is, and it's kind of funny because one of the things that happens is that when you you know, one, you're like, you're freelancing, so you gotta, you know, you gotta take projects on, you gotta pay the bills. But one of the things that you don't realize is that your client knows so very little about really e-learning, about adult education, about really engaging people. And even if they don't say it out loud, they're looking for you to guide them. They really are. There are clients out there who don't want that. They want a commodity to convert things. And those people, if that's the kind of work you want to do, go for it. But I've done it and it's not fulfilling and you just end up becoming like the, you know, the lowest price per hour competitor. And I don't feel like working in that. There's enough people doing that. I'm talking to people right now who, if you're here and you want to see this, yeah, I'm talking to people who know that there's a standard that's been set. And I got to tell you, for the past 10 years, not much has changed. I see people put out still Click and Reveal, Click Next kind of learning. And it has nothing to do with our clients. It has to do with us. It has to do with our confidence pitching, you know, creative projects. And I got to tell you, the only reason I ever went into these two strategies that I'm going to talk to you about very shortly is because I had this one project. I had more than one, but this one was kind of like the straw that broke the camel's back. I wanted to be creative on this project and I tried to introduce new ideas, but because I didn't have a framework within which to actually share those ideas and actually know what the end product was going to be, the structure of the final product, I kept on working basically from a blank page. And then I would send that information over to my partner, Ryan, who's like, you know, the articulate guy. And he would be like, okay, how can I make this more creative and add on the whiz bang? And that project was a pain. I didn't know how to manage the stakeholders. I didn't know how to rein in their ideas. I didn't know how to rein in our development, and it dragged on and it just completely exhausted me. It was an awesome project, and I saw the reviews. It was amazing, but it nearly killed us. It was just so painful. And I thought, how can I do this again and retain this kind of engagement and also not burn myself out, because it's a pain in the butt. And then so what happens is those kinds of experiences make you hesitant to pitch new ideas, because you don't know if you can do that again, because the last time it was so painful. And it, you know, I actually thought I would be like, bespoke is the best. I want to do everything bespoke, you know, from scratch. You're unique and all this stuff. And that, for a two-person design shop, that doesn't scale. But then I thought, how can I stay creative? How can I continue delivering things that are really engaging, meaningful to people, contextual to people, without burning myself out every project and being able to scale that for more than like one project every 3 months, right? What if I want to do 3 projects a month and deliver the same kind of quality? What is that? And so that's how I stumbled upon these two engagement strategies. Because for the longest time, what happened is I thought it was the software. Like, I totally thought, if I just get the best software, if I just get better at this, if I just use cooler techniques, better wrapping, whatever, better questions, I thought that would be the answer. And there's a cap on that. There's a definite cap on that. And after a while, you're like, how much sexier can I make this content? How much interesting or intricate can I show it revealing to me? You know? And there's an approach, definitely, that I discovered and I want to share it with you today. So when Articulate first launched its beta, I was a part of it. And one of the things that happened is I was asked to, they had a competition, of course. They were launching this thing and they really wanted, it was a storyline beta, and they wanted to show what was possible. And for me, at that point, I mean, I could have, it's funny because I submitted 2 projects for that with my partner. One of them was a project, which is called Broken Coworker, which is an interactive story. The other one, and this is, I don't know if you ever have this, and I talk to people all the time who have this, you know how you put together a project and then you look at it like 6 months later or a year later and you're like, man, I could have done so many more things if they just let me push the envelope a bit, if they were a bit more open to this kind of approach, you know, if it wasn't just a straight up, you know, content conversion. I don't know if you guys ever have had that kind of like, I don't know if it's called like project regret or whatever, but I have, right? And so we seriously had some project regret for this one project we did, which was epic. It was an epic project. And so what we decided to do was, if we were going to reimagine this in the creative way that we wanted to do this project, we actually did a single lesson and completely reimagined it. And it was really cool because it taught us a lot. And that's one of the things that's awesome about doing creative projects, is you learn and from that project, and then what you're able to do if you do it right and if you're strategic about it, is you take the lessons from that one and you repurpose them in the next. And what happens is, with every project, you get better at that craft. And I found that with the kinds of email PowerPoint conversions I was doing, I wasn't really getting good at the craft I wanted to get good at. So when we launched Broken Coworker, this interactive story, I realized at first when we launched it, I was like, I wanted to do something that I would be proud of. One, I wanted to do something that would represent the kind of learning that I would enjoy, which is hard to find out there in the world for adults. We get fed content like there's no tomorrow, like we're in the Matrix and we get, you know, things plugged in and everything's just like instant, if you're just willing. And then the other thing is, I just, I wanted to combine a lot of the things that my partner was coming in with, because he's huge into storytelling. His background is in a user interface design for web, and he saw basically a world that was trapped in the 80s. He's like, this looks like the web, but when it was first started, a lot of these e-learning projects have the same kind of usability that the web had, you know, back in when it, you know, 90s, in the 90s. And I was like, oh, okay, I didn't even think about that. And guess what? I got to tell you right now, I'm still looking at projects where people don't even still, it still looks like the early 90s web. It's that's bad, right? So, like I said, a decade and very little has changed for us. That's why we got to push our stakeholders, push our clients towards the next thing. So when I first launched Broken Coworker, I didn't really appreciate the two elements in there that made it engaging and that made people who didn't even want to go through e-learning interested in that experience. And there's two things that are extremely sexy to adult brains, maybe even, of course, children's brains, but that my focus is adults. Two things. One is story, and the second thing is agency. So, storytelling, a learning mechanic, right? And the reason you and I are here is because nature has self-selected us for storytelling. Why? Storytelling is how we, one, organize information, two, remember information, and three, how we can learn and to empathize or to see ourselves, right, in somebody else's experience without being directly a part of that experience. That is how knowledge has passed on. You see a story, you see a painting on a cave wall, somebody tells you about the hunt, and now you're able to use those strategies because of that story in your own hunt without being killed, trampled, stabbed, or all those other things. So the people who got that, the people who could take the lessons, the people who could pass on those lessons and organize those lessons in their heads, those are the people who got to be around. Guess what? We're their descendants. So that's why when you say, you know, storytelling is sexy, is because you are a storytelling machine, whether through input or output. That's how we work. That's how you remember things. And so if you're not leveraging this, you're missing out on one of the biggest engagement opportunities that there is out there. I don't care what software you use. I could be using a piece of paper and I will engage you if the story is crafted the right way. And there's definitely a framework for storytelling. But my God, are we underutilizing this amazing tool, right? Crazy. Hey, there's Toddy. Hi, Toddy. So storytelling. Okay, that's cool. All right, there. Second thing, agency. Agency. What's agency? The power to choose? The power to make decisions? Why is that important? Well, think about it. Every single day, what do? You are hanging out and making decisions. This or that. These things or these things. Your day is a culmination of decisions. Whether you are not doing something is a decision. Whether you're doing something is a decision. Now, imagine now you're in learning experience, or you have a story. The story is already engaging, but on top of that, I have the power to give you decision power. So it's already, you're already like tuned in because it's a great story, and all of a sudden you get to choose what happens. Those two things combined together, I know I'm gonna make that cheesy synergy symbol right now. It works. It is so compelling. I'm not saying that you take story and you take, you know, decisions and all of a sudden magic happens. But if you craft these two things where you have a story that's super contextual and meaningful to somebody, and then on top of that, you add decisions that are super contextual and important to your audience, and you mix those things together, crazy. I'm talking about sparks. I'm talking about a reaction, a chemical reaction. And one of the things that we're doing with interactive stories, what we're trying to achieve is to get people to feel and emotionally connect to things, and also to reflect on from, you know, this vantage point of looking at a character's journey, to then be like, hey, I wonder if this is something that I could improve in my life, or am I making this mistake? Because we're all so easy at seeing other people's mistakes, right? That's the easy part. So then can you then look at your own? And if you structure it right, This is going to be the catalyst for all the other things that are going to happen down the line. Because what are we trying to do in the end? In the end, we're trying to get people who are unaware that they have gaps, uninterested in any of that training, mumbo jumbo, LMS stuff, uninterested in upskilling anything because they got lives, they're busy, and you're trying to get persuade them that taking on that learning journey is actually going to be worth it to them in the end. Now, the biggest challenge is we always talk about, you know, what's in it for them. Well, guess what, friend? You're not going to know because you don't know that person. You're not going to know. So if you can have them sell themselves on a journey, if you can have in their own mind them come up with a what's in it for them, that's way better than any list you're going to come up with. Sure, you can add it to your lessons. But if nobody's going to the lesson, they're never going to see that. So when you say, oh, the onus is on the learner to justify, you know, what's in it for them and for them to find their own value, good, you can go around and say all that, but that doesn't increase the people going to, you know, your training. What you still need to do is you still need to sell them on that journey. And what's in it for them has to come from the inside for themselves. And that's what makes it so powerful. So, let me see who else is visiting here. Ah. Playing devil's advocate in storytelling decision points can be engaging as well. Absolutely. Absolutely. Your storytelling really is a lot of times all those voices, that all that doubt, all those things that are, you know, milling around in there, basically justifying you making bad decisions. If you can bring that into the story and verbalize it, especially if you actually understand your target audience and have talked to practitioners who have gone through that experience, bam, it's so cool. It's so powerful. And they'll feel like you're talking their language. And that's huge. If you can get into that person's head, you've won. You've won because you're emotionally connecting with them. They're selling themselves on that journey. And then you're getting them excited about jumping on the next thing, which could be a tutorial, which could be a job aid to download, which could be reaching out to a mentor, whatever that is, right? You got to be strategic. These things don't live alone, but definitely they can be a part of just an entire cycle of awesomeness for that person. But you got to sell them on it first. So if you give them that storytelling and agency, you combine these two things. I don't care how unsexy your graphics are, what software you're using, which version, if it works on mobile, if it's compelling, people will, guess what? Books work. They're not an HTML. But now you're taking this excellent experience and now making it personalized, and people can see, you know, how they affect the outcome. And that is so awesome, compelling, curiosity building, and persuasive, right? So if, like I talked about, when I first started this, I really stumbled on this. I just looked at things that I thought were really cool and engaged me. And then I was like, something's here. Something is interesting. I want to model that. And that's always been my motto. I'm not inventing anything. I'm looking at the world and saying, this is really working. What can I pull from here? And I think one of the biggest lessons for me is that we can't keep on looking at the things we're already doing. We have to look at places that have awesome data, at places that have already really awesome user engagement that are for adults, right? What are those places? Well, it's Hollywood, it's video games, it's narrative games, all those places, marketing, persuasion, what's happening there? Can I pull that in? So basically that's what all this learning has come to, is that there are these two powerful tools. And how can you leverage them? And we're in like the best industry ever because we actually have an individual at their fingertips has the ability to not only gather all that info, massage it into something beautiful, but then launch a product like all the way from soup to nuts. You have the power to go all the way from soup to nuts to launch something, which is amazing, which is absolutely amazing. So can you give an example that has worked for you? So broken coworker is an awesome example, right? Of interactivity, agency, plus storytelling. On my profile, I share a whole bunch of examples of really solid interactive stories. Now, what's cool? So Kath, check it out there. There's different applications, which I'll get into later on. Now I have a couple of announcements. So, And please ask these questions in the chat. I love it because I even revisit later and I can send you links. But what's happening is these lives, Jill, it's your first LinkedIn live, and look at this, I'm making an announcement about it. So I'm going to be going at the end of this month, full Facebook, because in Facebook I'm able to actually share more and I have more autonomy over sharing my desktop as well. So it just becomes a better experience for all the people that are there. So if you want, if you're interested in becoming strategically, you know, embedded in crafting interactive stories, go to Engaging eLearning. That's the group. It's free. And basically there I post this content. And like I said, next month I'll be switching to using this platform, live platform, exclusively. I'll be going on less often, but there'll be more intense Q&As and you'll be able to interact with me there, I think, better than here, to be honest, because I'll be able to share more. Now, the other thing is I'm looking for 5 more people to join our interactive storytelling coaching program. It's not for everybody. It's not for people who are looking for the next HTML software flash button. It's for people who are wanting to craft interactive stories. And you know, a lot of you might be going, I don't even know what that is, Anna. You know, so that's cool. That's fine. And you might also have your ideas about what a story is, what it takes to write a story, what it takes to get those stories out from practitioners and subject matter experts. What does that look like? Right. And those are things we can all talk about, definitely, because one of the things I want to do is figure out if this is a good fit for you and if there's something that we can actually accomplish together. So I'm looking for some awesome people to join us and join our community. But before I even offer anything up for that, I'd like to talk to you to see if this is something where it actually takes you where you want to go. Because a lot of us, you know, a lot of us are happy putting things out that make the stakeholder happy. If the stakeholder is happy, then they're happy. I am of the mindset that if you're putting out things that you have regret about because you knew that you could do better, that you, if you have time and there's a contest, you rework them because you want to do a better job just for yourself. That's the kind of people I'm looking for. And if you've been putting together experiences that, you know, the software is no longer an issue for you, but you're looking for a way to, you know, use these two, even these two engagement strategies and others, to just bump things up to the next level without having to quit your job and become a freelancer. You know, some of us don't want to freelance, and I get that. Some of us actually want to be the person who introduces these things in their organization because they already work at a great place, because they already have an awesome team. So if you're one of those people, I'll put the link underneath the video to talk to me with a calendar link, book your time, give me some context. There's some questions that follow. And then if it's a good fit, whatever, we'll talk and see where we can take this. All right. So I hope you have a fabulous rest of the week. And if you have any questions that popped up as a result of this, please post them underneath the chat. Kath, I appreciate your question. And then if you guys have, any other questions that have resulted, I'm here. All right. So I'll be on tomorrow again, or I'll talk to you on the calendar link. All right. Take care. Thanks for sticking around. I know you could be doing a million other things, but if you're really serious about learning about storytelling, there you're in the right place. Take care. Bye.
You're listening to the eLearning Scenario Design Podcast with Anna Sabramowitz.